Take your Bible and open it to Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. I want to read three verses of Scripture to you tonight. Just three. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, it says in verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Then verse 25, it says, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now in Luke chapter 1, I'd like to read one verse of Scripture to you, verse 31, Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. It says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Both Mary and Joseph were told by an angel what the name of this child was going to be. That the name of this child was going to be Jesus. And tonight, I want to preach on the name of Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that we can be here tonight. I'm thankful for those that have come. I'm thankful, Lord, that we at this time of year can take a break and think about you coming into this world and about all that is connected with your birth, your first advent. And Lord, when we think about the first advent, we automatically think about the second advent, when you're going to come back and take your rightful place on the throne of David and rule on this earth for 1,000 years. Father, I pray that you'd bless each person that's come this way tonight. And Lord, we've been in situations where we've been fellowshipping with family and friends yesterday and today, and some of it's been good, and maybe some of it's been a little hard on people. We've overeaten, and Lord, we're thankful that you've blessed us so much with all that we have, and Lord, that you've let us live in a country where we have all the blessings that we enjoy, the freedom that we enjoy, the food that we enjoy, the liberty and being able to get in a car and go someplace and have money in our pocket to spend. And Lord, there's just so many things that we could stay here for a long time just thanking you and praising you for all that you've done. But Lord, we're mostly appreciative of the great plan of salvation that was brought to us when you came into this world as a baby, lived on the face of this earth without sin, although tempted by the devil, and then went to the cross and bore our sin in your body and suffered our hell as you hung on that cross and paid for our sin. And Lord, we know someday we'll rejoice in heaven over the fact that you are our Savior and Redeemer. And we thank you and praise you for that. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd be with those folks that are going to be traveling tonight. Keep them safe on the road. I pray, Lord, for those that are sick. And I ask God that you would restore some health to their body and just help them to get over the illnesses that go around this time of year, the flu and the colds and all those things. I pray, Lord, for those that are sick with cancer and ask that you would help them out. And Father, I pray that you would bless each person that's come here tonight. Father, prepare us for the week to come. And Lord, strengthen our hearts and open our hearts that we might be able to receive a blessing from you tonight. And Father, I pray that the Word of God would go forth with your power upon it, that you would put your unction on it, Lord, and send it forth unbounded with your power. And Lord, may it do something to us. Father, may the Holy Spirit of God be here and may your presence be experienced in this meeting tonight. And Father, I pray that you would settle our hearts and our minds and help us to look at the Word of God and be just enthralled once again with the lovely name of Jesus. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of Jesus was given by an angel to Mary and Joseph. Since this time, this name Jesus has been uttered many times by human lips. Jesus means Savior. Can you imagine how Mary and Joseph felt when they held this baby, this holy thing, as the Bible calls him, the Son of God, and rocked him in their arms and said over and over this name, Jesus. We've had children. We've held our children. We've rocked them at night. We've rocked them in the morning. And when they're first born, we repeat their name over and over and over again. Can you imagine how it was for Joseph and Mary to hold this little baby, to look into the eyes of God's love and into the face of God Himself and hold that baby in their arms and repeat that name over and over and over again, Jesus, 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 knowing all the time that it meant Savior. That name, that divine name, that powerful name, that name that is above every name, repeated by these two over and over again as this child was growing up. The Bible says in Philippians 2, and we've already quoted it tonight, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." That name Jesus is a divine name. Every man that comes into this world is known by his name. If I would say the names of some of the men that are not here tonight, but names that you might know, when I say that name, automatically some image comes up to your mind. That's why we don't have numbers. We have names. The government would like us just to be a number. The government would like me to be 19932-9251. But I've got a name. My name is Bruce. My name is Bruce Arthur McDowell. And when somebody talks to you about me and they say, "Well, you know, Bruce," automatically some image comes to your mind because my name conjures up an image. If I would say to you tonight, "Harry Noren," something came to your mind if you know Harry. If I would say the name Max Jones, not here tonight, something comes to your mind when I say that name. And names will conjure up or bring up in your mind some image about that individual. And when Jesus Christ was named, God said, "I want His name to be Jesus." And when that name is spoken, it brings something to your mind. When the name Jesus is brought up, it brings an image to your mind. The name of Jesus is honey in the mouth, melody in the ear, and joy in the heart. The name of Jesus has been preached to this world, to a lost and dying world. The name Jesus has been whispered in prayer over and over again by the saints of God. The name Jesus has been sung by the redeemed. It's been called on by the repenting sinner. It's been used in a blasphemous way by a lost and dying world. But the name of Jesus will bring something to your mind. One time Winston Churchill was asked to list by name the 10 most important people in the history of the world. And as he reckoned them to be, his list was very impressive. And when done, someone asked why he hadn't named Jesus Christ on that list. And he says, "Oh, he doesn't belong on that list. You see, Jesus," he said, "is incomparable." And you know something? He was right. Jesus doesn't belong on the list with great men because he stands head and shoulders above any man that ever came into this world. He's on the list all by himself, and God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Jesus stands way above every other name. You think of different names, and you think of names of religious men. You think of names like a Buddha. Jesus is way above Buddha. You think of Allah, Jesus is way above Allah. You think of Muhammad, Jesus is way above Muhammad. You think of Mary, Jesus is above Mary. That name is a name above every other name. Jesus is a name given by God. Who knew Him better than the Father? You see, the Father named the only begotten Son and reveals that name to Mary and Joseph and says, call His name Jesus. All the saints and angels put together didn't know Jesus like the Father knew Jesus. The Bible says, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And the Father said, I want Him to have a name. And here's the name that I want Him to have. I want Him to have the name Jesus. Who knew the plan of salvation better than the Father? Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says in, or I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it says this in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No one knew the plan of salvation better than God the Father. And God the Father and God the Son got together out there in the ageless, timeless span of eternity. And they designed a plan. And the plan was that Jesus Christ someday would come in to this world. He would be born of a virgin. He would live on this earth. He would die on an old rugged cross. Jesus existed in God's heaven with the Father before eternity. I can't figure it all out. I've thought about it many times. I've preached about it many times. I've thought about God the Father and God the Son and that union that they had before anything was ever created, before any man was ever made, before any angel was ever created, or any seraphim was ever created, or any cherubim was ever created, and the relationship that God had with the Father, or Jesus had with the Father back there in the timeless ages of eternity. But the day came when there were things that God created. Jesus was there. He was there at the creation of the angels. He was there at the creation of the heavenly beings. He was there at the creation of Lucifer. He was there at the creation of the earth. He was there at the creation of man. And who knew better what was going to happen in this time zone, in this world, than God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit? And the Father said, here's what I want His name to be. Because the plan has been made. There's only going to be one plan of salvation. There's only going to be one way for a man to get to heaven. There's only going to be one way where a man can come to me, where a sinful, fallen man will ever be able to get to me. There's only going to be one way for that man to get to me, and he's going to have to come through my Son, and He is the Savior. He is the only Savior, so I want His name to be Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody says, well, what about the Muslim? He better find Jesus. Somebody says, what about the Buddhist? He better find Jesus. Somebody says, what about the religious people in other parts of the world that worship trees and stumps and have idols? What about them? They better find Jesus. And you see, Jesus is not hiding from anyone. My verse of Scripture that I just read to you said this. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's one thing about God. He wants all men to be saved. Now, if God wants all men to be saved, do you think He doesn't make Himself known to some men? How could He ever say He wants all men to be saved and then not get the message to some men? You see, we just limit God. We say, well, we know about him here in America, but they don't know about him over in Africa or down in the New Hebrides or in the New Guiana. How do you know? How do you know where God's been? How do you know that God doesn't walk in the jungles? I mean, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's an all-present God. And he can work on the hearts and the minds of men wherever they might be. To some man, he might be the unknown God. But listen, that unknown God can manifest himself as the God of heaven and the God of creation and the only God. And believe me, if God wants all men to be saved, then he makes a way possible for all men to be saved. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all men to know the truth. That's why he gave us a book. He gave us a book that is pure. He gave us a book that has no error. He gave us a book just the way he wants us to have it. And he says, I want all men to come to the knowledge of truth. You know what he wants all men to know? He wants all men to know there's only one mediator between God and man. And it's the man, Christ Jesus. So he said, here's what I want you to do. Joseph, I want you to make sure that his name is called Jesus. He said, Mary, the angel said, Mary, I want you to know that his name should be called Jesus. When it came to naming the Lord Jesus Christ, they were both on the same page. They said, that's it. His name is going to be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That name is a divine name, the name of Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the only Savior. Now, he's not just a Savior from trouble or from an enemy, although he is that, but he's not just that. You see, in the Old Testament, God raised up many men who were Saviors. Joshua was a Savior. He took the children of Israel after Moses died and led them in to the land of Israel. And he went to battle against the enemies and he was a Savior. Gideon was a Savior. God raised him up at a time when there was an enemy that came against Israel, and Gideon saved those people out of the hand of the enemy. David was a Savior. David was a king, and every time a Philistine or an army of Philistines or any army came up against David's army, God allowed David to have a victory, and in that sense, he was a Savior. He saved those people from the hand of the enemy. But Jesus is a Savior like no other Savior. Jesus is a Savior in the sense in which no other person could ever be a Savior, because he saves his people from their sin. Jesus is the Savior from sin. That name, the name of Jesus, cannot be mentioned without a saved person thinking about salvation. When you testify, you know what you testify of? You testify that Jesus has done something for you. Paul said, I never worry about gifts because I got the greatest gift that could ever be given. Jesus gave me that gift when he saved my soul. When you testify, you speak of Jesus. You speak of a personal Savior that gave you salvation personally that came from him. The lost man may curse and use that name in profanity, but to a saved man, that name is precious. That name is so precious. And when I was lost, I was so used to taking that name in vain and using that name in a profane way that when I got saved, it was almost like stepping on holy ground for the name Jesus to come out of my mouth. And I wanted it always to be used in the right way. I never wanted the name of Jesus to be used to designate anything but the fact that he was my Savior. I never wanted to use it in a profane way again because he became precious to me. And when I hear somebody take that name
and use that name in a profane way. It just sort of, there's a little twinge of anger. But then I remember all the years that I used that name in vain. And now it has a completely different meaning. Jesus is a name that is precious unto those that are saved. Think about that name for just a minute. Think about the first time that you can remember that you heard the name Jesus. Think about that name for just a minute. We take that name and we sing about it in our song. On page 42 of our hymnal, there's a song called All Hail the Power. And it says, All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name. The man that wrote that hymn was a man that was introduced to John Wesley at a young age. He heard John Wesley preach. John Wesley became his mentor. He would never preach himself after he was called to preach if John Wesley was going to be around. He didn't want John Wesley to ever hear him preach because he had such respect for the preaching of John Wesley. The day came when he sat down and wrote this song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Even though he felt like his preaching was not up to par with somebody like John Wesley, he wrote a song about the name of Jesus. And that song took hold in England. And that song took hold wherever the gospel was preached. And men testified. They would come into churches in England and testify that they had seen unlearned tribesmen weep when that song was sung, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Queen Victoria, when she had this song played or sung, Queen Victoria said, I want the jeweled crown to be removed from my head when that hymn and that message is sung. Jesus should be crowned Lord of all, no one else. And she would remove her jeweled crown when that song was sung because of the name of Jesus. You know, there's power in that name. When a queen will take off her crown, there's power in that name. When a man that has not ever heard the name of Jesus before, and a missionary comes over and preaches the gospel to that man, and then they sing that song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and those unlearned heathen begin to weep at the name of Jesus. You know this, that not only is it a divine name, but it is a powerful name. There's power in that name. When I think about the power of the name of Jesus, and when I just think about the name of Jesus, I think about what Jesus said about praying in His name. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, it says this in verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, John 14 verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know there's power in that name for the prayer warrior. For that man that wants to get in there and communicate with God and talk with God. Jesus said, when you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And that's a powerful name. In John chapter 15, it says this in verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father of the Father in my name,
he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. That's a powerful name. When you can get to the Father by that name, when you can come to God through the name of Jesus Christ and get those things that you desire, then that's a powerful name. John chapter 16, it says in verse 23. John 16 and verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. You ought to take every now and then, just do a little study on John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And see exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying there concerning His relationship with the Father and His relationship with you. And He says, if you want something, all you need to do is come to Me and come in My name and I'll do it to you, or I'll give it to you. And people say, oh, that doesn't mean anything and everything. Where's your faith? If you lack faith, it's not going to happen. But there's been many times when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and I said, God, there are needs that exist in my life. You've called me to do a certain thing. I'm trying to do that certain thing. I want to do that certain thing. And I'm calling upon you. And I'm calling upon you according to John chapter 14 and 15 and asking you to do something that only you can do. And Lord, I'm praying and asking in Jesus' name that this thing would be done. God has never failed me yet. And I don't say that braggingly or boastfully. I'm saying He does what He says He'll do. Now, there's been some times when I've been weak. There's been some times when I've been exposed to certain things and I've been weak. We all get in certain times of our lives when we're spiritually weak. And it's at those spiritually weak times that the devil comes around with temptation. And that's when you need to use the name of Jesus. And that's when you need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ in His name and say, Jesus, I'm weak. I need help. I need Your strength. I need Your power. I need Your filling. I need to be emptied of myself and my selfish ways and to be filled with Your Spirit. And I'm asking You in the name of Jesus to do something on my behalf. And God has always, always come through. That's a powerful name. That's why when some people recite a memorized prayer, they never use the name of Jesus. They just recite some old mystical heavenly God out there someplace that we really don't know in a personal way. We're calling on Thee that You might do something on our behalf. Thank You, God. Amen. That's not what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, when you pray in My name. And the angel said, you call His name Jesus. That's the divine name. That's the name that is above every name. That's the name that has power connected with it. That's the name that you go to God in prayer with. That's the name that we finish our prayers in. And we ask it in Jesus' name because that's the name that has power. And every man that ever got through to God in prayer, he understood the power of the name of Jesus. There's power in that name for a sick man or a sick woman. People who don't really know us, and when I say us, I'm talking about us Bible believers. People that really don't know us say, well, that bunch that goes up there at that church, they don't believe in healing. Little do they know that we meet here every Wednesday night and we pray continually for God to heal people. Amen. And we pray continually in Jesus' name, that these people might be healed. Now, if I get sick, I want you to pray for me. I took Jeff to the doctor the other day and stayed with him up there for about 3 or 4 hours as they gave him his chemotherapy treatments. He has cancer. Jim Combs said today that it's been rough on him since he had that treatment. And he said that it just feels like there's like a lion is just gripping into his intestines and dragging everything up like this
as that chemo works on that cancer that's in his system. He prays. He believes God is going to heal him. I pray. And you pray. And you know what? I believe God is going to heal him. Now, if he dies, and this is what he told me, if he dies after believing that God is going to heal him, then that's the right thing. God has done the right thing. If he lives after praying that God would heal him, then that's the right thing. God has done the right thing. And he said, I don't care whether I live or die. I believe God is going to heal me. But if I die, it's the right thing. That's the attitude. That's going to God in faith, believing that he is going to do something because you've called on him and asked it in his name. And if God takes him out of this world, then that's the right thing. And that's why we pray that the will of God would be done in a person's life. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. That's a powerful name. How many sick people have knelt, or how many women have knelt by the side of a sick child and called on Jesus and wept and said, Jesus, please spare my baby. Please take the fever out of my baby's body. Please, Lord, we can't get to a doctor. There's no doctor around. There's no money. There's no insurance. But Lord, we believe that you can do it. I'm calling on you. I'm asking in Jesus' name for you to take the sickness out of my baby. And how many mothers have got up rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ because they saw that baby healed from that affliction that it had. We pray for his healing because we believe. We believe. So when people say, oh, that bunch up there, they don't believe in healing. Yeah, we believe in healing. We believe that if you call upon the name of Jesus, he can heal you, and there's nothing too tough. He can heal terminal cancer like he could heal the sniffles. Just like that. No trouble at all. But he is going to be glorified in the child of God, whether it be by sickness or whether it be by health. Right now, Jeff, with his sickness, is glorifying God. My cousin died 2 years ago in August. He had lung cancer. And to be honest with you, I went to his house one time with Sherry and my kids, and I said to him, Richard, if you're a saved man, you're Lot. If you're a saved man, you're Lot. Man, you're living down in Sodom, and you're acting like one of the Sodomites, and I can't tell the difference between you and this world. And he said, I'm saved. He was drinking. He was smoking. He lived a very carnal life. And he said, I'm saved. 38 years old, working in the post office, had a heart attack. They rushed him to the hospital. I went up there and I said, Richard, I said, you shouldn't be alive. He said, I know it. He said, just God has allowed me to live, and I don't know why. I said, are you sure you're saved? He said, I'm saved, Bruce. He had been through Vietnam. I didn't know till his death that he had received 2 bronze stars for bravery in Vietnam. And he had that heart attack. He said, I was an 8-cylinder, now I'm a 4-cylinder. Took medicine, went to the doctors every couple months for checkups. And the doctor said, you'll live 10 years. Well, 10 years went by. He said, that's about all the longer you'll have, 10 years. 10 years went by. He was still doing good. He hit 50, still doing good. I mean, he's out there riding motorcycles, brand new Suzuki, had a big riverboat, running that riverboat up and down, had a great big truck, had a brand new house, him and his wife knocking down about $150,000 a year, had anything, everything that money could buy. And he said, you know, Bruce, he said, I'm not a fool. I know that I shouldn't be smoking. And he said, but I wasn't stupid about it. He said, whenever I'd go have my heart checked, I'd have the doctor check my lungs, take a lung x-ray, make sure I didn't have anything going on in there because I'd been smoking. He called me up one day and he said, I found out I have lung cancer. And he said, the doctor told me I had 60 days to live. Now he's 55 years old. He has 60 days to live. I go up there. And I thought, if he only has 2 months, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to visit him as much as I can. So I'd go up there and I'd visit him. And we'd pray. And he'd get weaker. And he'd lose weight. And we'd pray. And finally, he came to the place where he was so skinny and weak that he said, I don't know why God is letting me live. He said, I've gotten everything straight with God. Of course, when you get lung cancer, you quit smoking. Whether you like it or not, you quit. And he said, I've gotten everything right with God. He said, I don't understand why God's letting me live. When they told him 2 months, he actually lived 5 months without any treatments. Because they said the most radical treatment that we could give you would not give you a 1% chance of this cancer disappearing. So he said, I'll go home and die. And he went home and died. And I asked him just a few weeks before he died, he said, why do you think God's letting me live? I said, well, Richard, you know, you lived your life pretty much for yourself. Now God's not letting you die because he's going to get some glory out of you here at the last. And you're going to have to show your lost relatives and your lost friends how a Christian can suffer and die. And he sort of perked up a little bit and he said, well, I guess that's the reason then. But you know something? When a person gets in that shape and comes to that place in their life, the only thing they can do is go to Jesus and say, Lord, I need your help, and you do your will in my life. That name, Jesus, is a powerful name in prayer. And then I want to say this. There's not only power in the name when you're praying and for healing, but there's power in that name for salvation. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in jail. They're chained up. It says in verse 24, Acts 16, 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the question. What must I do to be saved? And the greatest Christian that ever lived, the one that wrote 14 books of the New Testament, gave this answer. Verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He got that name in there. That's the one you have to believe in. That's the one that's the Savior. That's the one that can save your soul. Believe in that. Believe in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Not only was that jailer saved, but that whole household was saved that night because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's power. There was a time when a man showed me Jesus and I believed on him and he saved me. And everyone that is saved, the day came in your life, were in your heart. I mean in your heart. It was not a communication where you heard voices, but the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart. And in your heart, the Holy Spirit says, that's what you need. He is what you need. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He died for you. He'll save you from your sin. And you believed in your heart. And the instant you believed in your heart, you became a son of God because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. There is no other name that you could ever believe in and have your sins washed away and have the Holy Spirit come in and birth you into the family of God and give you hope and give you life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A man said one time, he got up in the pulpit and he preached himself. And all the scholars came up to praise him. He said the next week, he got up in the pulpit and preached Jesus. And all the sinners came up to thank him. To be worthy of thanks of sinners, not the praise of man, should be the ambition of every minister. And Jesus has been removed from the pulpit today. And many people do not hear about the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. At this time of year, we read the accounts of the birth and we remember that there was a day that he came into this world, the Son of God. And the angel said, call him Jesus. There's power in that name. There's salvation in that name. There's the answer to prayer in that name. It's a divine name. Call him Jesus. Let's stand. And we'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that we can call upon that name that is above every name. Lord, we're thankful that you designed a plan whereby man could be saved and become a son of God and get to a holy and righteous God. And Lord, we couldn't get to you. The chasm was too wide. The sin was too dark. And the way was unknown. Until you sent Jesus into this world. Until you sent your Son. And you said, call his name Jesus. Lord, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and for the great salvation that he has shown to us. Lord, help us not to be ashamed of Jesus. When we go out in the world and others talk about God and others talk about religion, and others talk about Jesus in a profane way, may we be willing to step up and say, Jesus is my Savior and Jesus is my friend. And he's the only one that can save you from your sin. May we carry the name of Jesus with us wherever we go. May we not be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Lord, bless these people. And use them this week. Give us all opportunity to witness. Help us to have compassion. Help us, Lord, to be led of the Spirit. And help us, Lord,
to take a stand for Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.